Hi, Louis-Pierre Gignac, President and CEO of Gmining Ventures. We're building the Tocantinzinho Encino mine, and yesterday we announced a transaction to merge with Reunion Gold to bring in the Oko West project into our company. So quite excited.
Fantastic. Fantastic for you. Fantastic time for gold. Fantastic time for investors. Lots of mergers happening at the moment. Right. We know... People watching this will know a lot about your company and what you're doing at Tocantinzinho, but why don't you give us a little update on where you're at in terms of the build, if you don't mind.
I mean, we're 89% complete on the construction side. We're basically starting commissioning activities as well. So we're within 3 months of producing gold. So we've always been advertising second half of next year as being reaching commercial production. So we're keeping on track to that schedule, and we'll be looking for what's next, and that's why we did this transaction.
Absolutely. And what I'm trying to look for is kind of parallels in terms of, you know, what you guys are good at in terms of Gmining and what you've got at the moment and what you're buying into. So again, with Tocantinzinho, we're looking at what type of mining is it, what type of grade, what type of margin are you expecting? Just remind us.
Yeah, I mean, Tocantinzinho is an open pit, simple operation. So we'll be producing on average 175,000 ounces of gold a year. So, I mean, we'll be generating north of $200 million of cash flow a year, which we'll be able to redeploy towards Oko. So on a combined basis, this will really minimize shareholder dilution going forward to develop Oko West.
Right. Okay. So, well, let's get on to the deal itself. So these deals don't happen overnight. How long have you guys been talking, and how has it taken to get to this point where you can agree on something?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've been in discussion for a long time. I mean, we essentially started discussions in August of last year, and we kind of planted the seed and had discussions, and then kicked it off kind of in November, December of last year. So we've been at it for a while. I mean, we did extensive due diligence, and so did they as well. So obviously we went to site, they came to our site. So yeah, we've done quite a lot of work.
It's kind of interesting times actually for, you know, development companies. Although gold's gone on a tear, money's still not that easy to come by. And I think when we've spoken with Rick previously, they've talked about bringing in strategic investor, perhaps bringing more than just money to the table. I guess you fit that bill to a T. So it might be worth describing what this deal does for you guys on a combined basis, and maybe what it does for their shareholders.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we had the ambition of growing this into an intermediate producer. So the objective of hitting 500,000 ounces, we believe, will be possible with Oko West. You know, that gives us scale as well to get into indices as well, a lot more liquidity into our stocks and more visibility in the market as well. So that checks all the boxes for us. And, you know, what we see in Oko West is a project that we can quickly get into construction, which is not the case in many jurisdictions. It can, you know, take a lot of time to get things permitted and get to that construction decision. So I was in Guyana over the weekend to meet the president of Guyana along with Dave Fennell from Reunion. So what I came away was obviously getting the truth from the president himself, that, you know, they're very supportive of the mining industry and seeing the Oko West project move quickly into construction. So what we were able to reassure is that, you know, we're combining these two companies, which is really just going to give this project a kickstart to be able to move it along fast in terms of the abilities that our team brings, the funding capacity that we'll be able to bring to the table just through free cash flow, but also our supportive shareholders, which are, you know, La Mancha and Franco, that, as you see on the deal, they'll be putting $25 million each into the company to help with early works and giving us the ability to move quickly.
Okay, so you okay, met the president. That's kind of comforting. What about, I mean, during the time that you started these conversations and planting seeds and advancing conversations, you know, there was a lot of kind of rhetoric in the market talking about the kind of Venezuela factor and next door. Some put it down to political rhetoric, but how do you, as a big organization, how does La Mancha and Franco look at those sorts of headlines? Does it affect your long-term view?
No. Look, obviously we did some due diligence on that as well, and you know, got our comfort level in terms of that whole situation. I mean, this is a boundary dispute that goes back to 1899. So look, it's been around for a long time, and obviously it's come to surface now, really because of all the oil that's being discovered off the coast of Guyana. But yeah, we also see it as just being a political ploy on the Venezuelan side to garner support for elections. But yeah, I think, you know, internationally, everyone is supportive of Guyana. So neighbors such as Brazil, obviously the Americans, the Europeans. So, I mean, no one's really supporting the claims that Venezuela is making either. So I think we can feel pretty comforted in that this shouldn't result in conflict and will be resolved through the courts like it should.
Okay, right. So this process will take some time. When do you expect this to kind of get over the line? When does this conclude?
This transaction?
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, it's going to go to a shareholder vote. So that'll take place, and probably beginning of third quarter, we'll have this transaction close.
Right. Okay. So not too long. And then talk to me about mergers are, well, so how are you framing this? Because I'm not quite sure from the language how you want to class this. You're coming together, but is it merger? Is it an acquisition? Is it, what are you doing?
Yeah, look, it's a merger. I mean, I'd say our team is going to carry on. As you've noticed, we're creating a spinco company out of the transaction. So I think, you know, we do want to, you know, I think there's value to be created in what Reunion does in exploring. And so they have assets in French Guiana that will be remaining in spinco. They had some exploration properties in Suriname, and then they still want to be active in Guyana as well. So there'll be $15 million going into spinco that will provide them with a startup to continue exploring. So we think that's a very strong win-win. And we'll be keeping 19.9% in SpinCo with the ability to maintain pro rata and keep funding any success they may have on the exploration front.
Right, okay. So that gets them back to doing what they do best, and this allows you to do what your management team do best, which obviously get this thing to a point where you build out and you actually start producing, which is fantastic. Does that make the whole spectre and conversation around G2 more likely, given it'll be a new set of owners right next door? Because that's a conversation that's gone on for the last 3 years. I mean, has that been part of your thinking?
Look, industrially, the logic would have these two properties come together. I think that's kind of obvious. Reunion has critical mass to justify a project. So, I mean, it's not required that they come together for Oko West to move forward. I think that would be something to be entertained in the future.
Okay. And I guess it's a bit early in the day, but I think most people want to sort of understand the potential of what could be if all sides were in agreement, for sure. In terms of the, you know, again, coming back to what you're buying, so they're sitting like in terms of 5.9 million or so, all categories, but is the way that this project gets mined what you think it needs to be? Are you going to be reevaluating the economic studies? Are you going to be relooking at it from the G mining lens?
Yeah, look, we'll definitely be putting our ingredients into how we see this project being developed. But I would say, so far, how they've been thinking about it has been very much in line with our thinking as well.
Right, okay.
So what this will be is essentially an open pit that will have concurrent underground mining. There's obviously the trade-offs between open pit and underground that need to be refined and pursued. We're aligned on that. Whether the underground comes in right away or it's shifted maybe a year to facilitate the startup and then give time for the underground to get developed, that's part of the fine tuning that will come out of this.
Right.
You know, we see this as an operation that can produce 300,000 ounces. There's no doubt about that.
Right. Okay. And obviously the underground component with the grades that they've got, it would be interesting to see how you come at that. Again, I suspect you know what you're going to do. It was a question of the timing of that and I guess we as investors, we want to understand, can you maintain the kinds of margins that you've seen at Tocantinzinho if you're going and doing underground at these sorts of grades?
Yeah, so, well, that's part of the reason we see this being concurrent underground and open pit. You know, the underground at 3 grams, call it, is needing the fixed costs and, you know, economies of scale of the open pit for that to bring value. But when you look at that being complementary feed to an open pit, it does create quite a bit of value. So that's obviously how we've been looking at it. And, you know, you also can quickly come to the conclusion that, you know, the underground could never feed a process plant that would be built for the open pit in terms of keeping it full. So that's why we do see it as being concurrent, and finding additional mineralization at surface would only be, you know, positive as well. Because right. We do okay. See the underground as being something with a lot of upside, and also an exploration land package that still is not fully explored going to the south. We know the boundary to the north is essentially with the G2 property. So, that obviously continues to the north.
Right, okay. And with regards to, obviously, you'll be talking about the story far and wide over the next few days, I'm sure. Have you had time to get any kind of feedback, pushback from shareholders, institutional shareholders, about the sorts of ambitions, or because you've been signaling it for a long time, was this pretty much expected?
I think there was also a question of timing, when it would be, and I would say we've only received very positive feedback from all our institutional shareholders. They also see this as being just a perfect fit as well, and us being able to redeploy our team, our systems, and capabilities towards Oko West is also a perfect timing as well. So,
right,
I think this is really a good match.
Is this sort of betting integration? I mean, in most companies, I was talking to a banker a few weeks ago, and they're saying that, you know, about 20% of companies actually manage to do the integration in the way that they expect, in terms of around the economics of it. You're coming at it from a very different starting point with a kind of G mining background. The integration of teams is one thing. Operations, you're in different jurisdictions. What are the things that are going to work for you in terms of ensuring that the integration cost is as expected? What are you going to do in terms of making sure that the kind of the brand ethos, the work ethos, is transferable, you know, into a different country?
Well, I think you have to kind of keep in mind, we've basically built every mine in the Guyana Shield, starting with Omai, Rosedale, Marion. So this will be the fourth one in the Guyana Shield. And I have five Guyanese expats working in Brazil for me now. So we already have a network in country to pull on. So this is a jurisdiction that we're very familiar with, and, you know, the integration is going to be fairly seamless. And, you know, we'll essentially inherit some of the reunion team that's already there. That's definitely going to be the case. Some of them will move on to SpinCo, those that will be more focused on regional exploration, like much further away. But we'll be able to keep a good core team that's been working on the ESIA and permitting aspects. So that'll be fairly seamless, we see.
Right. Okay. And with regards to stresses on the balance sheet, you've always been able to go and raise big chunks of money when you wanted to. Obviously, La Mancha and Franco subscribing to $25 million each here. Was it also La Mancha buying in the open market as well? So you're mining shares. So
yeah.
Financially, you seem comfortable. Can you just tell me, again, just talk to me about the sort of structure of this. Is this an all share deal? Are there any kind of commitments, obligations on your part financially over and above the 15 on the spin code in terms of helping this thing get over the line smoothly?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's an all share deal that we then, you know, put in 15 million Canadian into SpinCo to get it up and started. As you mentioned, there's La Mancha and Franco, and then we have, well, Reunion has in the money warrants that come due in July, and we have some in September. So with those injections, you know, that positions us really well.
Right. Well, fantastic.
And then on top of our TC cash flow to do a lot of fund a good portion of or the great majority of Oak Coast's.
Right, and what a time. Gold price is sitting hitting $2,400 US, not too shabby. So I think the market should appreciate the timing of this. Your expectations around gold this year, I guess, pretty positive, right?
Yeah. No, we couldn't. I mean, you can't time things, but this is basically turning out to be perfect timing for us to be generating first gold. So.
Brilliant. Well, like, I better let you get back to it. I know you've got a lot of meetings to be out over the next few days. Stay in touch. Let us know how you get on, okay?
Thanks. Thanks a lot.